We open our meeting by singing together number 10 in your hymn sheet. There is a Savior on high in the glory, a Savior who suffered on Calvary's tree, a Savior as willing to save now as ever. His arm is almighty, his love great and free. Number 10 on your hymn sheet. Will someone start it for me, please? There is a Savior on high.
Thank you.
Let's have a word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee tonight we can sing of such a Savior on high in the glory, the one who hung on that cross of Calvary, to stand before Thee, our God, and bear the punishment our sins deserve. And we just thank Thee for Thy long-suffering Father over this world, and with each one of us tonight. And Thou art not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And we thank Thee once again, Father, tonight for the liberty of opening Thy word and speaking from its pages. And we trust with Thy help, telling others about the Lord Jesus, the delight of Thy heart. We pray for Thy blessing on our time together, Father. We count on Thy help by Thy Spirit. We ask it with confidence Thou would bless us tonight. In the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Let's turn to Second Book of Kings and chapter 5. That's 2 Kings chapter 5. A story that many of us know concerning a man whose name was Naaman. And I think we touch on that this afternoon. A different one spoke about leprosy. And it's a story of a man who was sick with leprosy. And we'll just read some verses here in 2 Kings chapter 5 from verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed, and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, Behold, I taught, he will surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the sayings of the man of God, and his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now here's a story of a man who was healed. But I would say he was almost not healed. There are so many elements in Naaman's story that could have been different. And he almost could have been not healed. But God's purpose was to heal Naaman, was to bless this man. And he worked out the path of Naaman and the circumstances in this man's life for him to be healed. How did he find out about the possibility of being healed? Well, it was from a prisoner he had taken in one of his wars, a little maiden, a little Israelitish girl that knew that where she lived, there was a man of God with the power of God. She could have kept that to herself, but she didn't. I trust this little girl had something in her heart from God, which was love for others, even love for her master. She'd been taken away of her land and brought into a strange land, and she was to serve there. She could have hated her master, but she didn't. She had a concern for him and wanted to see him blessed. And this story would end right here if this little girl did not speak up. Many boys and girls here today, you know, I know some of you know the Lord Jesus. This mighty man, Naaman, he was right beside the king, you know. It tells us a little bit later on that when he went into the house of his God, the king would lean on Naaman. It was like his right hand, you know. It was right by the king. Real important man, this man, Naaman. And this little maiden, this little girl, if she doesn't say what she knew to be true, Naaman would never have been healed of his leprosy. But she spoke up. It's nice for boys and girls who know the Lord Jesus to tell others. Little people, big people. Tell others about a man of God. Not Elisha like in our story. But the Lord Jesus Christ that we've been singing about. The one who went to the cross. And he can heal all the lepers, you know. You know, leprosy in the Bible is a picture for us of sin. And in that sense, you know, all of mankind, we're all lepers. And we all need to be healed from leprosy. We need to be healed from sin. And the only thing that can heal us is the Lord Jesus by his blood. And it's wonderful that this little humble girl was used in blessing to this great man by the world standards, Naaman. And that should encourage us who know the Lord Jesus to tell others, whether we're young or old, to value every opportunity we have to tell others. And I would suggest to you that this young maiden had a fullness of heart that made her speak. Responsibility for you and I who know the Lord Jesus to tell others of the one that should be filling our hearts. And we should have his name on our lips. Well, it starts with this girl and then it gets to the ears of the king. She could have said that and nobody carried the message. But somebody else carried the message right to the ears of the king. Now the king could have said, oh, I need you to rest on Naaman. You can't go. I need you here so much. But even the king, he had something in his heart for Naaman to see, well, it'd be a nice thing if Naaman was healed. He gave him a holiday. He let him go. He says, you go. And I'm going to write a letter. He even wrote a letter for him, recommending him. He recommended him to the wrong person because he was ignorant. But he said, I'll do what I can to help you. Couldn't take away his leprosy, but he could recommend him, and he recommended him, and he recommended a letter to the king of Israel. And it comes to the king of Israel, we find here. And the king of Israel, he reads the letter, and he gets all upset. Why is he upset? Because he thinks this is some sort of a trap. The king has sent him a letter to do something that he can't do, and then because he can't do it, he's going to come and make war with him. And he gets all upset. And could have stopped right there, you know. Naaman could have come with the letter and the king says, well, your master just wants to make war with me. I can't do anything for you. Go back home. But it didn't happen that way. Elisha heard about it. How did he hear about it? I don't know. But Elisha heard about it. And he said to the king, send him to my house. So here's what we have. Verse 9, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot full of horses and chariots. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong place here. There we go. Chapter 5. Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots There we go. And stood at the door of the house of Elijah. There he is. The man of God is there. Naaman is there outside the door. And there's a possibility for Naaman now. He's a lot closer to being healed than he was when he was back in Syria. But you know, Naaman, he was a man of the world. He says, I thought. He was expecting things. He was a great man. He left his country and made all this trip and had all this money with him and change of raiment and gifts and everything. All because one little girl, I know, maybe she was 7 or 8 or 9, maybe 12, had said something. And there was enough there for him to say, I'll go. And here he is, and the blessing is slow, but he's an important man. He's there with his horses and his chariots, and he's expecting Elisha to come out. But Elisha didn't come out. He sent a messenger. Verse 10, and Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times. That was hard on Naaman, on his pride, you know. That Elijah didn't come out, he sent a messenger. I'm not important enough for him to come to me, he sends a messenger. And go and wash in Jordan 7 times. Verse 11, Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. That was Naaman's problem. He thought. He thought wrong. Now, many of us, we think wrong. Naaman was thinking according to the standards of the world. How man would do things. How we expect God now to act like a man. No, God is God and he acts like God. I thought he will surely come out to me, which he didn't. He didn't come out to him. He sent a messenger. And he's going to stand, and he's going to call upon the name of the Lord, and he's going to move his hand, and he's going to pray, and that's how it's going to happen. You and I tonight, we live in a world where a lot of people think this is what you need to do. To be right with God. You need to do this. You need to go to church. You need sacraments. You need penitence. You need this. You need that. You need sacrifices. We think. But God is not a man like us. You know, this is a beautiful story because it ends with Naaman being cleansed. It's wonderful. But can you see as we read down the story how close he was? To not being healed, all these elements were chained in his life, and finally, he'll be healed. But here he's upset, and he's got his own thoughts, you know, about how things should have been done, and it wasn't going to be done the way he thought, so he's going back home. Ever been like that in your soul? You're upset at God because things aren't the way you thought they should be? Maybe the Christians around you aren't treating you the way you thought they should treat you? Or that the Christians, as they go on together, they're not going on the way you thought they should be going on? Well, it says here, he was upset, and then he challenged, verse 12, are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Not only he sent a messenger, he doesn't do anything, come and pray and put his hand on. He says, go and bathe in this little river called Jordan. We have beautiful rivers in Syria, much nicer than Jordan. Why couldn't I take a bath there? And I'm wondering if in his mind he said, why 7 times? Why do I have to go in Jordan 7 times? Why not just once? This God, this man of God, is capricious. Is that the right word in English? Capricious. He you know, finicky. He just wants this. It's got to be this way and there and 7 times. Well, you know, he turned and went away in a rage. He started off from Syria, and now he's heading back home to Syria with his leprosy because things weren't the way he thought. That's not what he expected. But here in verse 13, his servants came near. Other people intervened in Naaman's life. His servants came near and spake to him and said, my father. Maybe Naaman had real friends in his servants. They call him father, you know. They had a heart for him too, just like the maiden servant. They see him going away, and he's so close to blessing. They kind of believe, maybe, you know, if he just went a bit further, it might happen to him. My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, wash and be clean. You know, I'm sure Naaman, if the prophet had said, now you're going to get the biggest pack sack you ever saw, you know, and you're going to fill it with rocks, and you're going to go up this mountain here on bare feet. When you get to the top, your feet will be full of blood, and then you're going to ask God because of this wonderful feat that you've done for him to heal you. Well, Naaman would have done it, I'm sure. And I'm sure if God said to you, I'm going to bless you if you do this, you'd try and do it. And then you say, I did it. You know, there's no glory for this man of the court of the king of Syria to dip himself 7 times in this teeny-weeny river in Israel. He's not going to go back home and say, I bathed 7 times in Jordan. He's not going to tell anybody about that. But he might have told them, this is how I got healed. God said, you go there and you do that. And you know what he says? It says there, verse 14, then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. Oh. You know, we know 7 times. 7 in the scriptures is a number that appears very often. But I have a question. I'm going to answer it for you. But why 7 times? Why 7 times? Why not 6 times? Why not 26 times? Well, it says right there in the next sentence, according to the saying of the man of God. If the man of God had said 26 times, he would have had to dip in Jordan 26 times. But the man of God had said 7 times. If he would have gone home to one of these fine rivers of Syria and dipped himself 7 times in Pharpar, would he have been healed? No. The other river, the Amana? No. What about dipping in Jordan 6 times? Didn't work. Had to be the way the word of God told him to do it. Now, if you follow his story, there were a lot of elements there that had to come into place for him to be healed. When it comes to your story and my story, it's not that complicated. God didn't ask me to go and dip myself 7 times in any river to clean me from my sins. I didn't have to travel from Syria way over to Israel to hear the man of God. The word of God came to me, and he told me about the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't have to change clothes. I didn't have to move position. I didn't have to stand or to kneel or to lay down. All I had to do was believe in my heart the message that was coming from God to me. Now, Naaman is a good example. He's a man that almost didn't get healed. And tonight, I want to ask you, dear ones here in this room, are you saved tonight? The word of God comes to you. It's come to you perhaps many times. Perhaps this is the first time you hear it. I doubt that for most of you. But it's come right to you. There's a Savior on high in the glory. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He died on a cross 2,000 years ago. He rose again from the dead. And God has been telling men and women and children for 2,000 years, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Is that too complicated? It's not complicated at all, you know. But before we go any further, I want to turn to another man who was in a similar position as Naaman. And it's 2 Kings chapter 7. He was another man that the king leaned on. And it's the same prophet, the man of God, in 2 Kings chapter 7. Was a time of famine because the Syrians had encircled the city of Samaria and they were in a siege and they were getting very, very weak because they had no food and terrible things were happening in the city because of that. And the king was really upset and he wanted to put Elisha to death. But here's Elijah's prophecy in chapter 7. Then Elijah said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, that's the one I want to talk to you about, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof." And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in the gate, in of the gate, and they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? And we say we will enter. If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. If we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall but die." And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel had hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, "We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." So they came and called unto the port of the city, and they told him, saying, "We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither a voice of man, but horses tied, and asses tied, and the tents as they were." And he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, "I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city.' And one of his servants answered and said, 'Let some take, I pray, 5 of the horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of Israel that are consumed. And let us send and see.' They took therefore 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, 'Go and see.' And they went after them unto Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of God. And a king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned to have the charge of the gate. And the people trod him in the gate, and he died, as the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. And it came to pass, as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, 2 measures of barley for a shekel and a measure of fine flour for a shekel shall be tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria.' And the Lord answered the man of God and said, 'Now behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, might such a thing be?' And he said, 'Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shalt not eat thereof.' And so it fell out upon him, and the people trod him in the gate, and he died." So here's another instance in the life of Elisha. And we find the king here. If you remember the king of Israel, when he got the letter, he thought the king of Syria was looking for war against him. Here, when the king hears the report, the good news that the Syrians are fled, oh, he says, "No, no, they haven't fled. They're hiding in the woods. They're waiting for us to come out. And when we come out, they'll jump on us." Didn't believe either, you know, that God was doing your work. You know, the great people in this world are ignorant of what God is doing. This little girl in the Syrian camp, in the Syrian court there, which was in Naaman's house, she had an idea of who God was and what he could do. Well, what happened here? There was famine, and then God decided to undertake for his people and deliver them from the siege of the Syrians. And this man, the captain, you might say, or the Lord on whom the king leaned, he said something that brought judgment upon him. He was unbelieving. He was unbelieving. What did it say in the beginning? He says, Elijah says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Tomorrow at this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." That he said the day before. He says, that's what's going to be tomorrow. That's what it's going to sell for tomorrow. Where'd you get that, Elisha? From the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord. You know what happened? Guess what the price was the next day? Exactly what the word of God had said. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? You know what's going to happen in the end of the world? You know what's going to happen when the Lord Jesus comes? Exactly what's written in the word of God. And this man said, even if God made windows in heaven, that's not going to happen. He put it as a question, but he doubted the word of God. You know, it tells us in Revelation, the unbelievers. It's not the ones that have never heard. The unbelievers are those that have heard and have not believed. Do you believe the word of God tonight? The word of God says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's as he said, we're all lepers. We need to be healed. We need the leprosy to be taken away. Sin cannot enter into heaven. And if you have sinned, as the Bible says, you're going to be estranged from God forever unless you can be cleansed from your sins. You know, that man Naaman, he had to travel. There were all those circumstances in his life. He said he almost wasn't healed, but he was. Well, I know lepers in the New Testament. You know, you have, in this story, you have four lepers that carried the good news. The good news at that time was that the Syrians were gone. And there was plenty of food and resources in their camp. And they just needed to come and take it. It was good news for them. That's the good news they needed then. God has good news for you and good news for me. We have four lepers in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Who are these men? These were sinners, just like you and me. But they met up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were cleansed. They were made whole. They became sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, like many here. And they have good news. If you read the gospel, they'll tell you all the same thing about the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who God the Father wants to speak to you tonight about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to show you from the gospels encounters. It's the same encounter. It's all in all the gospels. It's Matthew and Mark and Luke, the first three gospels. An encounter of a leprous man with the Lord Jesus. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Verse 40. Mark 1 and 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here was a man. He was in that condition of a leper. You know, if you look in Leviticus chapter 13, there were different manifestations of leprosy. Could be a scab, could be a boil, an ulcer. Could be spots. We spoke this afternoon, leprosy of the head and the beard and the hair. There were different manifestations of the same sickness. Well, sin is like that. We have a sinful nature, and there are different manifestations of that sinful nature. Can be lying, cheating, bad behavior. Could be just things going on in your heart, rumbling in your heart. having bad feelings and bad thoughts towards somebody, malice, speaking evil of others, all sorts of manifestations of sin, and some very gross things that I wouldn't mention here. It's all the same sickness called sin, has different manifestations. This man was a leper. Did he have it on his arm, on his head, in his... I don't know, but he had leprosy. And he came to the Lord Jesus, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If you go see a doctor, you can tell him what you have, and then you can say, can you help me, doctor? You don't ask the doctor, if you will, you can heal me. You can't say that to the doctor. Can you help me? Can you do something for me? That's not what the leper said. He knew this man, the Lord Jesus, could help him if he wanted to. This is a remarkable expression of faith. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. Thou canst make me clean. The question is, do you want to do that for me? Did the Lord Jesus want to heal this man? You read through these Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Anybody ever come to the Lord Jesus with a sickness, with a problem? He was deaf or mute or blind or a leper and not healed? They're all healed. And all those that were dead, that were in his presence, he rose from the dead. So the Lord didn't look him over and say, oh, what kind of leprosy you got? Oh, it's a bad case. Oh. What kind of sins in your life? Little sins? Petty sins? Is there something in your life you'd be ashamed to confess to anybody but the Lord? Something that you've done, you're carrying with yourself, nobody knows about but yourself? Maybe you're still going on with it? God sees it. Is it hopeless? Can a leper have such leprosy that he couldn't be healed by the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no such thing. Now he came to the Lord. But the Lord Jesus, we had read Matthew 11 and 29, beautiful verses about the yoke. But 11 and 28, that's the gospel. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He's inviting you to come to him. He didn't get an invitation. This leper didn't get an invitation. He came. He knew his need. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, not rejoicing over the opportunity of manifesting his power, moved with compassion, the heart of God and the need of man. What is there in the heart of God? They say, hey, you need me. He was moved with compassion, the love of God expressed in the person of the Lord Jesus. Something you never do in the Old Testament to a leper. You don't touch a leper. You never touch a leper, because if you touch a leper, you become unclean too. The lepers in the Old Testament, it says in Leviticus, if he had leprosy, he had to, if he was walking down the aisle or the street, he had to say, unclean, unclean, unclean. Nobody ever touched him. This man in his leprosy, nobody ever hugged him. Nobody ever kissed him, because he was a leper. Sin isn't like that, you know. Because sin doesn't isolate us from people. It just isolates us from God. We can have a lot of friends in sin. The only friends we can't have in sin is the Lord Jesus. But the leper had no friends but the Lord Jesus. And what did he do? He didn't say, I want you to be clean. He went over and he touched him. He put his hand on him. Never been touched, this person. He's a leper. He touched him. The Lord Jesus would touch you tonight, my friend. And said unto him, I will, be thou clean. 4 times in the New Testament. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus says, I will. Just 4 times. Unless I'm mistaken, my friend's concordance might be wrong, but that's all I found. I found 1 in Mark, 1 in Matthew, 1 in Luke, and 1 in John. He says, I will. He says to the Father, not my will, but thine be done. But here he says, I will. What did he want? He wanted that leper to be cleansed. He does so, the same account in Matthew and Mark and Luke. 3 times he says of the leper, I will be thou clean. Is there any doubt in your heart and mind tonight that the Lord Jesus will want to touch you tonight and make you whole and heal you from your sins? There's no doubt in my heart. That's what he's done for me. And he wants to do that for you. And the 4th I will is John 17. We know that verse very well. Father, I will those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. He wants those very lepers that he cleansed with him in the glory to see his glory in the Father's house. Wonderful news in this, the Word of God. Boys and girls, older ones tonight, I can't see in your heart. God says we're all lepers, we're all sinners, and we need a Savior. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, the Lord Jesus is able to touch you and make you whole. He's able to save you tonight. And he will, if you'll ask him tonight to be your Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I trust you as my Savior. People, they have little prayers. They say this prayer. The Lord isn't fussy, you know. You can just say, Lord Jesus, save me. It comes from your heart. He understands what you mean. And he's going to save you tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, our time is almost up. I just want another little comment on the leper, you know. In the New Testament, in the Bible, you have people that were anointed by the command of God. They anointed kings, they anointed prophets, and they anointed priests. And they anointed lepers. That's the only 4 in the Scriptures I found anyway that were anointed. Prophet, priests, and kings. And lepers. Wonderful to see that God loves a sinner. I don't know tonight how bad a sinner you are. I'm not interested how bad a sinner you are. But God is interested tonight in saving your soul. Jesus is able tonight. We're 2004. I'm not sure the date. It's 7:30. Lord Jesus tonight is able to save everyone in this room. And if he comes tonight, he's not going to be able to save anybody that's still going to be in this room after he's come, because you've heard the gospel. And you're responsible before the Lord Jesus tonight to put your trust in him. No, this man, all he did was doubt the word of God there. And he challenged, how is God, God's going to open the heaven? How's he going to do that, you know? But he died, just like the word of God said. The word of God says that the unbelieving are going into the lake of fire. But all those that believed, no matter how big a sinner they were, maybe they had leprosy in the back, in the front, on their hands, on their feet, on their leg, everywhere. But the Lord made them whole. And God can save, by the blood of the Lord Jesus tonight, every one of you here, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we just thank thee for the Lord Jesus, for his work on the cross, for his shed blood, for his suffering for us, taking our sins on his own body on the tree, being made sin for us too. We thank thee for his victory, Father, and for the glorious good news now thou hast proclaimed to this poor lost world. And thou hast given us tonight to share in the measure in this room. We just pray thee, Father, for the boys and girls and older ones too, young people too. Thou dost know the circumstances of our lives. We just thank thee, Lord Jesus, for thy heart of love, thy heart of compassion, that would touch us tonight and draw us to thyself. We pray there might be blessing in our souls tonight and into lost one's soul tonight too, Father. We ask it with confidence and thanksgiving. In the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.